Friends, hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 20. It is found on page 889 of your Pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field watching over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And now, friends, hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. We'll be reading from the 9th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with verse 2 and reading through verse 7. It is found on page 593 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest. All men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor thou hast broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." It's the word of the Lord. Well, we're here We're almost here, at least. This is the night that we've all been waiting for, the night that many people have spent weeks preparing for. This is the object of all of our longing and waiting and watching, this night when we await the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. During this time of year, it's easy for us pastors to turn into scolds, constantly admonishing our congregations against the allurements of materialism. What we really mean to say or guard against is the allurements of consumerism, the belief that we find happiness and peace in what we buy. But we're reminded on this night that materialism is, in fact, in part what Christmas is about. Christmas and Easter are the most materialistic times of the year. Easter, we are reminded, is about the resurrection, the bodily, physically resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus from the grave. And you don't get more material than that. Jesus did not rise as a spirit, as a ghost, but as a physical, bodily person. It is about the renewal of creation, what God has done for Jesus, God plans to do for the whole world. And of course, Christmas is about the Word of God that becomes flesh and dwells in our midst. And again, you don't get more material than that. And so both Christmas and Easter is about this world. It's God's commitment to this world that God created, this physical, material world. We are reminded that God loves the world. And as the Gospel of John tells us, God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But we readily acknowledge tonight that this world that God loves is in trouble. It is a world that is deeply enmeshed in darkness. And I don't have to tell you any of that. You know the darkness as well as I do, the darkness of war, the darkness of indiscriminate violence, gun violence, torture, terrorism, exploitation, sexual abuse, prejudice, hatred of every kind. You're aware of that darkness. It's all there. But the darkness is just not outside of us, but it's also a part of us, a part of our own lives, the darkness of family feuds, the darkness of dysfunction, the darkness of disease, the darkness of death, the darkness of our fears, our guilt, the darkness of enfeebled parents, of rebellious children. It is all there as well. We are indeed children who walk in darkness. The same darkness that the early Israelites walked in. They were a people estranged from God. They were a people held captive, a people living in darkness, wondering if God had forgotten them. But then they hear the words of the prophet, reminding them that God had indeed not forgotten them, and that God indeed had not forgotten our world of darkness. The good news of this night is that the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. And it is the love of God shining into our midst in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, born on this night. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and it is God's very own Son, the Word of God, the mind of God, the logic of God, the Logos, God's very own Son becoming flesh, becoming a human being, and dwelling in our midst. I am always amazed at how God comes to us. How God comes into our world to save us, God comes to save us in the person, we are reminded tonight, of a little bitty baby. One just like you heard crying just a moment ago. When I think of children, especially infants, several things come to mind. And one thing that comes to mind is vulnerability. Just how vulnerable babies are. A friend of mine sent me a video on Facebook the other day of her newly born granddaughter, and I couldn't help but to think how vulnerable this little bitty baby was. This little child, beautiful little child, its little eyes wasn't even open yet, its little hands were balled up, and she was playing with the little hands, and I couldn't help but to think how vulnerable this little bitty baby is. A baby that needs a daddy and a mama, a baby that needs someone to look after it, to feed it, to change its diapers, a baby that needs to be protected. And yet that's the way that God comes into the world to save us, as a little bitty baby. That's not the way we usually think of God. When we think of God, we think of invulnerability. To us, vulnerability is weakness. We don't want to be vulnerable in any way, and so we spend a great deal of our time trying to shore up our vulnerabilities. But not God. The Lord of all creation comes to us as a small child. We should note that Jesus remained vulnerable all of his life. He never obtained great wealth. He never had any place really to lay his head. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He remained relatively poor, a poor peasant all of his life. He remained a Jew in a world where Jewish lives didn't matter, at least not to the Roman overlords. And of course, in the end, he was arrested and crucified just like any common Jewish peasant whose life didn't matter. He was vulnerable, and that vulnerability went with him for all of his life. Another thing that comes to mind when I think of children is promise. Whenever there is a child, there is hope, because children are full of promise. You take a little baby and you hold that little baby in your arms, and you can't help but to wonder what kind of a promise this little baby has. What will she be? Will she be a doctor? Will she be an engineer? Will she be an astronaut, a scientist? Will she find the cure to cancer? What will this little bitty baby be? Children are filled with promise. Often, unfortunately, we spend a great deal of time aborting the promises of our children in so many ways. But promise is something that is a part of every little child. We have already been told what the promise of this baby born on this night will be. This baby who is born on this night, we are told, will be a great counselor. He will be Almighty God with us. For you, this day, a child is born. And we are told that the government will be upon his shoulders. Really? Some modern translations say that all authority will be on his shoulder. But I like this translation. The government will be upon his shoulders. Because that translation helps us to think clearly about what this night is about. Every 4 years in this country, we head to the polls and we elect someone upon whom we confer the awesome responsibilities of governance. And in any given election, roughly half of us will be happy and roughly half of us will be less happy. But in the end, we're all likely to be disappointed because of the darkness. There is no one out there who can arrest the darkness. There is no one out there who can solve our problems. No one out there that can handle and deal with the darkness of war, of conflict. No one out there that can seem to deal with the darkness of greed. No one out there who can bring us together. There's no one who can handle the darkness, who can free us from our darkness. It's not the fault of our political practitioners. They're just human beings. Often the darkness that they have to deal with is our own darkness, our collective darkness. But there's no one out there who can deal with the darkness except the little baby who was born on this night. He is the light who comes into this world. He is the light who can free us from our darkness. He is the leader, the ruler that we are yearning for, that we are hoping for, whether we realize it or not. That's what the Gospel of Luke has been trying to tell us too. Luke has given us this narrative of this little bitty baby who will be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's what the angels sing about. That's what the angels tell all of the shepherds and Mary and everyone, is that it's this little bitty baby who is the Savior. He is the Savior of the entire world. It is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ who comes to save us. And we need to kind of decipher those words, good news. In the ancient world, the good news, the evangelion, was something that was often associated with the king, with the emperor. It was a good tiding going forth that reminded everyone that the emperor was in charge. Good news, the emperor is in charge. Good news, the world is under control because the emperor is in charge. And the emperor was the one who saves. Only the emperor could save. Only being a part of the Roman Empire could save. The story that Luke wants us to hear is that salvation comes in this little bitty baby that is born on this night. Luke takes the time to tell us that Jesus was born when Augustus was the emperor and when Quirinius is governor. And Luke tells us that not simply because he wants to set this story in context, but he tells us that because he wants us to see the contrast. He wants us to make a decision. In the same way that John, in his gospel, at the end of his gospel, showed Jesus in contrast with Pontius Pilate. Pilate and Herod are both ridiculing Jesus. They're calling him the king mockingly, but Jesus is the real king. And John wants us to see that Jesus is, in fact, the real king. And Luke is doing the same thing. He wants us to see who the real Lord of Lords and King of Kings is. Jesus is Lord, but he's not a Lord in the way that Caesar is Lord. He's not a ruler the way that the rulers of the world rule. But Jesus reminds us on this night that love is more powerful than hatred, that self-giving is more powerful than dominating others, that vulnerability is what really matters, and not trying to shore ourselves up and protect our lives by sacrificing the lives of others. And so on this night, we are asked to make a decision. We are asked whether we will follow the light that comes into this darkness or whether we will keep giving our allegiance to the ways of the world. Jesus is indeed the true King. He is the true Lord of Lords. And sometimes I think that the reason that we get so worked up and take our own politics so seriously is because we don't really take the claim of this little bitty baby seriously. That he is the one who has the answer to our darkness. That he is the Lord that we are asked to follow. That he is the one who has come to show us the way if we have the courage to follow. And so this night begins our story, our Christian story, our alternative story, the story of real life. That's what the Bible is trying to show us here. And that is what God is beckoning us to hear and to see. That the only way out of our darkness is the light that shines into our world tonight. Will you follow that light? Because the fate of our world will be determined on whether or not we give our allegiance to that light. The prophet tells us that there will be no end to his kingdom, and his kingdom of peace will increase, it will expand, and it will last forever. And that is where you and I come in. We believe in this light, then we are called to live it out and to help it to expand so that one day peace and love and justice, one day light, the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the light of God, will permeate our whole world and that there will be no more darkness. It all begins tonight. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us together on this night to wait for the true light that shines into our world. You have called us to give our allegiance to a baby, a vulnerable little baby. But a baby that has great promise, because it is that baby who is the true ruler and Lord of the world. We ask, Lord, that you give us the courage to follow where the light will lead. And so on this night, we ask that you help us to take his light deep inside of our own hearts, so that we too might be the light of the world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.